Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, bless him all over the building. We worship you, my God. We glorify you. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes.
Bless the
worship his holy name.
Your heart is kind.
Your heart is kind.
Somebody just say, there's none like you. Come on, just lift up that kind of a worship in here that says, there's none like you. Come on, continue to fill the room with worship right there.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for taking the time to join me right here on Prolific Fire. I am your humble host, Prophet Stacy. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time. I truly appreciate it. The first song that I played on tonight was 10,000 Reasons, Bless the Lord. And the second song was No God Like Our God. Both songs are by Bashir Hilliard. Go out and get her new CD. It's been out for a while, but it's still new. Go out and get it. It's called the Glory Experience. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, tonight I pray that you strengthen me, God, to bring forth the message the way that you gave it to me, that somebody somewhere will be blessed, whether they listen live or to the replay, God. I pray that they be healed on tonight, God, that they be delivered on tonight, God. Most of all, that they be strengthened and encouraged on tonight. In the name of Jesus, God. Thank you, God, for this opportunity, God. I bless everybody on the phone lines. I bless everybody that's online tonight listening. To God be the glory. Tonight, the foundational text comes from Exodus chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. I'm going to read it from the Voice Translation because the Voice Translation has some added notes in the text that the other translations don't have. And I think it really brings out what I'm trying to say on tonight. Again, it's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 from the Voice Translation. If you're looking for the Voice Translation, download Bible Gateway. The Bible Gateway app is on there. With that being said, let's get right into it. Pharaoh wants the boys dead. That's the first thing it says, Exodus 2. Pharaoh wants the boys dead because he knows they will grow up to fight against him. But he wants to keep the girls alive. He is sure he can find a use for them. Verse 1. One day a man and woman, both from the tribe of Levi, married. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that her son was healthy and beautiful, she feared for his safety. She kept him hidden from the view. She kept him hidden from view for 3 whole months. When she could no longer keep him hidden away, she took a basket made of reeds, sealed it with tar and pitch, and placed her baby boy in it. Then she waged the basket together among the reeds along the edge of the Nile River. The Hebrew word for the basket that Moses' mother prepared is a word used in Genesis 6 and 14 for the ark that preserves Noah and his family from a watery judgment. Verse 4. All the while, the child's sister watched from a distance to see what would happen to her baby brother. Later on, Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river while her young attendants walked along the bank nearby. Pharaoh's daughter noticed the basket waged among the reeds and wondered what it might contain. So she instructed her maid to bring it to her. When Pharaoh's daughter opened the basket, she found the baby boy. He was crying, and her heart melted with compassion. Pharaoh's daughter, this is a Hebrew child, the child's sister, coming out of a hiding place. Would you like me to find a Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you? Pharaoh's daughter, all right, go find a nurse. So the baby's sister went and fetched his mother. The boy's mother approached Pharaoh's daughter to the nurse. Here, take this child and nurse him for me, and I will pay you for your services. So the woman took the child, who was secretly her own son, and nursed him, just as Pharaoh's daughter had instructed. This child is destined for greatness. Powerful people want him dead. Instead, providence intervenes. Verse 10, the last verse. The boy grew. And when the time was right, the woman brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she adopted him as her own. She named him Moses because, as she explained, I took him out of the water. The boy grew, and when the time was right, the woman brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she adopted him as her own. She named him Moses because, as she explained, I took him out of the water. Give me a second. I don't know what's going on with my tablet tonight. Pray, saints, pray. There we go. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Of course, Moses' mother had a first name, something she could be called other than Moses' mother, but it was not revealed to us in tonight's foundational text. Instead, it was deliberately not mentioned as a way of communicating to the reader, communicating to you and me, this woman, whoever she was, she could have been one of us. As a mother, if you've ever had to put your own feelings aside and do what's best for your child, then she is you. Couldn't have been easy for her to put her baby in a basket and send him away, sailing up the river, even though deep down she knew letting him go and hopefully be adopted was for the best. If she wanted him to stay alive and well, she knew letting him go, releasing him to be adopted, was for the best. But here's the problem with that. Just because you know something is for the best, that doesn't mean the pain of it is easier to digest. Just because you know something is for the best, that doesn't mean the pain of it is any easier to digest. Just because you know, that doesn't mean your mind, it doesn't mean your heart knows how to deal with what you know. Think about it. Think about the hardest thing you ever had to deal with in your life. Think about it. Think about what's the hardest thing you ever had to deal with in your life thus far. How long did it take you to adjust? For me, it was the death of my grandmother, letting her go, even though I knew it was for the best, and she would no longer have to go through what she was going through. Even though I knew it was for the best, that she be present with the Lord and absent from the body. As 2 Corinthians 5 and 8 says from the King James Version, still it was not easy for my mind, for my heart, to deal with that kind of pain. And every day, my life is still adjusting. What are you adjusting to? Letting go is good. Letting go is good because they don't have to suffer through what you're suffering through. It was good for Moses' mother to let him go. It was good for Moses' mother to let him go than for him to suffer. It was better for her to let him go than for him to suffer through the death threats that had come up against every baby boy under the age of 2 living in his area. It was good for Moses. It was good for Moses, but not so good emotionally for his mother, though. Even though it was right, there is something about separation that always makes it feel so wrong. Even though putting him up for adoption was the right thing to do, there is something about separation. Separation between a mother and daughter, separation between a mother and son, separation between a husband and wife, separation between a mother and her child in death. There's something about separation, even though it may be right for that particular time. It's something about separation that makes it feel all so wrong. It was good for Moses, but not so good emotionally for his mother, though. Even though it was right, there's something about separation that always feels so wrong. Death because of the separation always feels so wrong. Divorce because of the separation always feels so wrong. And the separation of a biological mother from her child always feels so wrong. It always feels so wrong. Up for adoption. That's the title of tonight's message. Up for adoption. Adoption is right. Don't get me wrong. Adoption is right. And it's always a blessing for somebody desiring to adopt. Still, for the one making this decision, have you ever thought about the one making the decision? Still, for the one making the decision to put their child up for adoption, it hurts. Let's be honest tonight. It hurts. It hurts. And somebody you're afraid to admit. You're afraid to admit it. But that thing that everybody expected of you, and you did it. They expected it of you, and you did it. But guess what? It still hurts. It hurts. You see, pain is just pain. No matter what kind of pain it is, pain is just pain. Pain is a necessary process. Pain is a necessary process at times, but it is never easy. Pain is a process that is never easy. So it couldn't have been easy for her, the woman in tonight's foundational text, to put her baby in a basket and send him away. Mothers on tonight, whether you listen live or to the replay, just imagine putting your baby in a basket and sending him away, sending her away. It couldn't have been easy, but she did it, only to know later that some other woman, Pharaoh's daughter of all people, found him. She found him and would be the one to name him Moses, claiming because she took him out of the water. This woman, this mother, didn't have the freedom to name her own seed. She didn't even have the freedom to name her own seed. Something is just not right when you can't even name the seed that you produced. It's something not right when you can't even look at the situation and call those things that be not as though they were. Romans 4:17. It's something wrong. It's something when your faith is challenged and you can't see things ever changing. Somebody tonight, your faith is challenged and you can't see things ever changing. It's one thing to be humbled in the midst of your pain. It's one thing to be humbled in the midst of your pain, but it's something totally different when you're made to be humble. It's one thing to be humbled in the midst of your pain, but it's something totally different when you're made to be humble, when you're forced into it. With Pharaoh killing every baby boy he could get his hands on under the age of two, this woman, this mother, was forced to humble herself and do what she didn't really want to do. You think she wanted to let her baby boy go? Of course she did. But it's what she had to do. And as a mother, sometimes you have to do what you have to do. With Pharaoh killing every baby boy he could get his hands on under the age of two, this woman, this mother, was forced to humble herself and do what she really didn't want to do. Somebody, you feel like you're backed into a corner, and though you really don't want to do it, but for the sake of your child, you will sacrifice what you need to sacrifice. You feel like you're backed into a corner, and you really don't want to do it, but for the sake of your child, you will sacrifice what you need to sacrifice. Some of you under the sound of my voice, you know firsthand exactly what it feels like having to send your baby away from your breast, having to make that type of sacrifice, and some other woman naming and claiming your baby and saying it's because she took him out of the water, and you not being able to say, he is who he is because I birthed him out. He is who he is because I birthed him out. He came out of me. Not from water, but because I birthed him out of me. Me, he came out of me. Can't you just hear the desperation in it? And she couldn't even let her desperation out. She couldn't express how she was really feeling. She had to keep it to herself and just let him be adopted because it was for the best. Beloved, don't let nobody fool you. Doing what's right. Beloved, don't let nobody fool you. Doing what's right, doing what's best for the other person does not always feel good. Doing what's best does not always feel good. Just because it's right, that does not mean it's going to feel right. Doing what's right is not always a joyous occasion, but it's often a hard decision. Doing what's right is not always a joyous occasion, but it's often a hard decision. A word for somebody. And no, hear me. And no, it's not selfish to feel what you feel. And no, it's not selfish to feel what you feel. It would only be selfish if you act on it. It's not selfish to feel whatever you're feeling in this moment, given the things that you're going through right now. It would only be selfish if you act on it. There's a difference between feeling some kind of way and acting some kind of way. There's a difference between feeling some kind of way and acting some kind of way. Just because that's how you feel, it doesn't mean that's what you must live. You don't have to live out of the hurt. Hear me. You do not have to live out of the hurt, letting it manifest in ways you would surely regret. You do not have to live out the hurt, letting it manifest in ways you would surely regret later. I'm sure Moses' mother had a bunch of emotions running through her at the time. I'm sure Moses' mother had a bunch of emotions running through her at the time, but still she did nothing that would jeopardize her son's pending adoption. You must think about your child first. I know you feel like you feel, but you must think about your child first. She did nothing to jeopardize her son's pending adoption. Although I must admit I love the way Moses' biological mother followed his progress. She followed his progress up the river. She was going to know what happened to her baby boy. She followed his progress up the river through the eyes of his older sister and ended up being reunited with her baby briefly because Pharaoh's daughter needed someone who could breastfeed. Just a side note, she got paid for breastfeeding her own baby because Pharaoh's daughter didn't even know she was the mother. And tell me God don't know how to set things up. If you do what's right, even though it hurts, he'll make it work out for your good. That's for somebody. That's not even in my notes. That's for somebody, though. If you do what's right, even though it hurts, God will make it all work out for your good. Because she got paid to breastfeed her own baby. So this dear mother got the opportunity to hold her baby to her breast for a season. She got the opportunity to hold her baby to her breast for a season before the adoption was finalized. That's my prayer for you tonight. That's my prayer for somebody tonight, that the child you were forced to give up for adoption all those years ago, that the child that you were forced to give up for adoption all those years ago will be reunited with you and feel the void in your chest, that the God of heaven and earth will heal both your heart and your mind, that the God of heaven and earth will heal both your heart and your mind so that you will stop second-guessing. Somebody, stop second-guessing yourself so that you will stop second-guessing what you know was the right decision. Beloved, God is pleased with you. Hear me. Beloved, God is pleased with you. He's pleased with you for taking the pain associated with trying to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord and man. As the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 8:21 NIV, for we are taking pains to do what is right. Sometimes you have to take pain to do what's right. Doing what's right ain't no easy thing, as I said. For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. That's 2 Corinthians 8:21 NIV. Therefore, stop worrying about those who know your history. Therefore, stop worrying about those who know your history, who know your past, and are trying to judge you. Stop worrying about them just because they know who you were. They know what you went through, what you had to do. They know all of that. But don't worry about them. Stop worrying about those who know your history, who know your past. Either they have never been through anything. Either they have never been through anything as hard, or they have, and they had to make a different decision. A decision that's made them hard, cold, could care less in nature. But either way, you know what? That's not your concern. Stop being distracted by what's not even supposed to be your concern. David said, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Psalms 138 and 8. New King James. I just love how the Bible speaks to our situation. It's situations. If you would read your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation, you would be amazed how the Bible can speak to your situations even now. Although the Bible was written all those many, many, many years ago by way of the Holy Spirit talking to man, the Bible is very relevant for today. It can speak to your situation even now. So I suggest that you read your Bible. Read your Bible. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me, Psalms 138 and 8, New King James. Sometimes you have to take God's word literally and make it personal. Sometimes you have to take God's word literally and make it personal. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me, not them. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me, not them. Make it personal. Somebody that's hurting on tonight, say that with me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me, not them. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me, not them. One more time. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me, not them. Psalms 138 and verse 8, New King James. God is near to you. God is near to you right now to take care of you. He is near to the brokenhearted. Psalms 34:18, NIV. God is a God that heals. And what I love about God, I love so many things about him, but one of the things I love about God is a God that heals not just your physical body, but he heals your emotional wounds. Jeremiah 30:17, New King James. But love, the physical part of what happened in that hospital room all those years ago, the physical part of what happened in that hospital room all those years ago is over, healed. Whatever happened in that hospital room all those years ago is over, healed. Whether you brought your baby forth through natural birth or C-section, it's over, healed. But now it's time for God to heal what happened to you emotionally. When they came and took your baby from your breast, or perhaps you didn't get to see your baby at all, for fear that you would become attached and unable to let go and go through with the adoption. It's time for God to heal what happened to you emotionally. It's time for God to heal what happened to you emotionally. When the couple chose to have a closed adoption and you agreed and signed the papers, it's time for God to heal your emotional wounds. It's time for God to heal what happened to you in that courtroom after you heard the verdict. It's time for God to heal what happened to you after mama died, after grandma died. Give God your pain tonight. Somebody give God your pain tonight. Lay it at his feet. Because letting go, whatever the circumstances, no matter how right it is for that time and season, is never easy. Because letting go, even though it may be right for that time and that season, it is never easy. Father God, we give it to you. Take grief off our hearts. We give it to you. Take worry off our minds and heal us from this. And heal us for real this time. Heal us from this and heal us for real this time. So many of us thought we were healed over it, but we're not. Father, we're not. We're not over it. Father, we're not doing good right now. Amir's mom, she's not doing good right now. Somebody else, you're not doing good right now. And if you're honest about it, you haven't been all good all the way yourself in a long time. Heal, Father. Comfort, Father. Strengthen, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, this concludes the message. And after hearing tonight's message, if anybody on the sound of my voice, whether you listen live or listen to a replay, I don't care if you listen to the replay tomorrow, next week, next month, 3 or 4 months from now. If you're listening live to the replay and you feel like you need to reach out to me directly after hearing this message, feel free to call or text 865-408-8690. That's 865-408-8690. Or email prolificfire@gmail.com. Prolificfire@gmail.com. At this time, I'm going to open the phone lines. If there's somebody on the phone and you desire prayer, just press 1 on your phone and I will be glad to pray with you on tonight. Once again, thank you everybody for taking the time to join me on tonight. Okay, I see that there are no live prayer requests, but if you need me, once again, the number is 865-408-8690 or email prolificfire@gmail.com. Be sure to join my sister Prophetess Pate for prayer and encouragement on Faith on the Line with Prophetess Pate right here on Blog Talk Radio. As a matter of fact, if you're online, dial the same number that you dialed tonight, but instead of Monday night, dial it on Friday night. 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. That's 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. Call 347-426-3782. And the phone lines will be open to pray with you specifically on that night as well. Be sure to join her for that. Then join me right back here on Prolific Fire next Monday, same place, same time. Next Monday, December 18th, the message will be struggling to do within yourself, something we all can relate to. Struggling to do within yourself. Somebody, you're frustrated, you're mad, you're irritated, etc., because you're trying to do things within yourself. You're trying to do it on your own. And just in case you're new to the ministry and you do not know the vision statement, let me tell you what just happened. The reason I was talking about something as serious as putting a child up for adoption is because the vision statement of this ministry is Prolific Fire, seeking to help you where you hurt, which simply means we deal with real issues using the Bible as a reference. With that being said, be sure to find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Periscope at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Prophetess Stacy. If you're not following me on Instagram, please do so. It's a lot of fun. And like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. Until Friday and then Monday, have a blessed night, everybody.